Today we're going to continue in 2 Peter. 2 Peter, we're going to do 3 through 11. We're going to talk about this list of qualities in 2 Peter 1, 3 through 11. We're going to begin with 3 and 4, sort of the transition. We talked last week, of course, or I always say last week. I'm such in the habit of saying last week. We talked yesterday about the introductory material, the fact that he's trying to say these things by way of reminder. So let's read 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. His divine power has granted us all things, granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us into his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may have become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption of the world that corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Now, there's an interesting idea, or a through line, a theme rather, of 2 Peter, and that is knowledge. Of course, he says in 2 Peter 1:2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Jesus our Lord. And then, of course, this idea here in verse 3, his divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Peter is, in his second letter to the church, very concerned with knowledge, concerned about what we know. And that begins with the introduction that we talked about, the idea that he's reminding them. And what did he say? I'm going to make very sure that when I'm gone, you will be able to bring to mind the things that I have told you. This is about knowledge. This book, this letter, this epistle is about the things that we need to know. And in general, he's saying, of course, in this text, I'll put it back up there, that broader knowledge than just what he's writing in this epistle, right? He has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Well, for them and for us, of course, that would, well, I say that. For them, it would have been the totality of the preaching, right? The teaching that they had had in the first century. Peter's, of course, been preaching for 30 years and teaching people and going places. And you know, think about all the teaching you can do in person over 30 years. Now, for us, of course, that would be the scriptures, right? That would be the word that we've received. All of the different letters, why we talked about that at the end of 1 Peter, rather. Why the epistles were so important to us. These give us the knowledge that give us all things pertaining to life and godliness. By which he has granted to us the very great, very precious and great promises, so that we might become partakers of the divine nature. What does that mean? Well, there's, I think, a double meaning there. There's, of course, the way that that happens on this earth, in this life, right? When we are given the Holy Spirit, we have become partakers of the divine nature. But of course, ultimately, I think that's going to be more completely fulfilled in eternity, when we really become partakers of him in eternity forever. But of course, there is an element of that now when we think about the Spirit that he has given us. And of course, we think about communion, the things that we do in communion. So we've been given these things to what? What's the point? So that we can escape the corruption that is in the world. Now, how are we going to do that? He's going to tell us in the next section how we're going to escape. What things does he give us that are going to help us escape? And as we go through this list of qualities, we're going to read 5 through 7 next. Two things to note. These are elements of the divine nature. These qualities that he's going to list are elements or part of or blessings of partaking in the divine nature, but they are also the way that we escape. Again, I don't want to paraphrase it. What did he say? These are also ways that we escape the corruption that is in the world, right? So as we read these qualities, that's what he's describing to us. So let's read 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. For this reason, for what reason? Because he's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. This set of texts is very interesting, or not text, the set of qualities is very interesting in that it has a progressive quality to it. Of course, we know faith, right? We're very familiar with faith. This is the beginning of it, right? Before anything else, we have to believe that God exists. Now, again, it really starts with the knowledge, right? Which is what he said. through the knowledge of God. Well, you receive knowledge of God, and then what? Well, are you going to believe or not? Do you have faith in that or not? Of course, we can think about Hebrews 12, 1, right? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. I'm particularly drawn to Hebrews 12, 6, or 11, 6. Yeah, Hebrews 11, 6. By faith, for those who would please God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So we start with faith, right? The believing response to the knowledge that we've received. And then the next one is interesting. Virtue. Add to your faith virtue. What is virtue exactly? It's an unusual word. We don't really talk about it a lot. We could think about moral excellence. That word appears a couple of other places. He uses that word in 1 Peter. Excuse me. He uses that word in 1 Peter 2:9, the excellencies of him. Proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness. That word is also used in Philippians 4:8 in that list that, of course, I hope you've memorized at this point. Philippians 4:8, whatever is, if there is any excellence in Philippians 4:8, that's the same word there. So what are we thinking about when we think about virtue or moral excellence, things that are excellent or good, right? So we're adding good moral character to our faith. It's not just that we believe and do what is, it's not just that we believe the things that God has said, but the willingness to do what is right, the willingness to pursue the right thing. Sometimes we fail, sometimes we don't have virtue, but that's what we're going for, right? Not only am I believing, but I'm going to have the believing response, as opposed to what James says about the demons, right? Even the demons believe and tremble. Of course, they're not pursuing virtue. They're not pursuing goodness or excellence as we're supposed to be doing. The third thing, what? Knowledge. Well, okay, I believe. Hooray. I want to do the right thing. Hooray. So now what? I need to know what the right thing is, right? Isn't that the next step? So I believe the things that God has said. And we understand the progression of knowledge as Christians, don't we? Nobody's just sort of automatically, oh, now I know everything there is to know. No, there's a progression here. I do have to have some knowledge to be a Christian. The knowledge of the gospel is the basic minimum, right? But you know, then as I'm pursuing good things, I need to know more good things. I need to know what's right and what's wrong. We could think about what Paul says in Romans, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is. I need to know the will of God if I'm going to pursue virtue and excellence, right? So I do need to add to my faith and virtue knowledge. What's the next one? Self-control. We know just because we have the first three, I believe in God, I want to do good things, I want to know what God wants me to do, doesn't mean I'm going to do it, right? We still have temptation, we still have struggles, we still have difficulties. So this word self-control, right? I need to be controlled to not let the, and it's interesting what he said previously, we'll put this back up there. Having escaped from the corruption in the world because of sinful desire, well, isn't that what I'm having self-control over? The sinful desire, that's the thing. It doesn't go away just because I have faith and I have virtue and I have knowledge. And of course, Paul says one of the things that he says in Romans 7, right? The idea of that knowledge really increases the ability to be unvirtuous, or that can't be a word. Surely it's not unvirtuous. I can't think of the opposite. But when I know more, as I'm growing and I'm learning, I also learn new avenues to sin. So I need to have self-control. What's the next one? So we're going from faith to virtue. Oh, knowledge and then self-control and then steadfastness. That word steadfastness. Some versions say patience. We talked a lot about patience. It could be endurance, maybe. Especially in James 1:3, he talks about endurance. But in any sport, what? You need endurance to keep going. If you're trying to build muscle in weightlifting, you need endurance to keep going. Things become difficult. Well, they become difficult because of sinful desire. I need the self-control to control those desires. But it's not just a one-time thing, right? I need steadfastness. I also need steadfastness to what? To keep growing my knowledge. What did he say? I'm going to remind you. I'm going to keep reminding you. All the writers of the New Testament having this idea of reminding them. Why? Because they need steadfastness to keep growing in knowledge. As I'm keep adding these qualities to myself and to my life, I can't just do it for a week and then be done. I need to continue to do it. So I need to be steadfast. The next one, godliness. So increase your, or add to your steadfastness, godliness. Godliness is a very generic term. Just another word could be piety, right? It has to do with maybe reverence toward God, recognizing his greatness, trying to emulate God. It's a very sort of generically religious word, and that's okay. But again, what are we trying to do? We're trying to emulate God. We're trying to become holy as God is holy. Isn't that what he says? And actually, Peter, I think, says that as well, right? You be holy, for God is holy. Of course, he's quoting God there, so it's you be holy, for I am holy. But that's this godliness, right? And as I'm trying, why am I doing the previous things? Why do I believe? Why am I having virtue? Why am I increasing my knowledge? Why am I exercising self-control? Why am I being steadfast? Because at the end of the day, I'm trying to honor God and be like him. And then finally, these two words, brotherly affection or love, depending on what translation you have. In the ESV, which is what I'm using, we have brotherly affection. This is, of course, phileo or Philadelphia, this idea of brotherly love. Could be considered maybe kindness or there's a lot of qualities completed entailed in this, but this familial love, right? That I'm loving my fellow Christians, specifically my fellow Christians, because I think this is talking about that brotherly affection, right? Or we could think about it in the sense of loving our fellow humans, but there is a familial nature to this love. Okay, so not only am I trying to emulate God for myself, but there's a relational aspect to this, right? In how I treat other people. And at the beginning, it's hard. There's a certain kind of fake it till you make it aspect of this, where a lot of times we do virtuous things. We have knowledge. We are exercising self-control, but we don't necessarily feel it. The part of the Christian growth, Christian journey, is getting to a point where you're not just sort of faking it, but you feel it too, right? We're training our minds, we're training our hearts to not just mechanically go through the motions of these qualities, but to feel the love that we need to have towards our fellow Christians, towards people who are lost, this love that we're supposed to be having, not just sort of this mechanical machine. And ultimately, the ultimate characteristic of God, right, described this last one. So add to your brotherly affection love, this all-encompassing love. This is the better form of love, right? And again, this is what? This is seeking the best for the other person. Yeah, maybe we're trying to add this affection for one another, but at the end of the day, I'm going to be trying to do what's best for other people, not just my fellow Christians, but all people, right? That's what I'm trying to do. And this is what drives us. We could read a lot of texts. We're not going to read all the texts about love. There's a bunch of them if you want to read them. But it is fittingly the pinnacle of this list of Christian qualities. So you see, I think there is a progressive nature to these qualities. And then what? What about these qualities? Why are they so important? Well, let's read the next few verses. 2 Peter 1, 8 through 11. As I take a drink of coffee. 2 Peter 1, 8 through 11, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, again, very important idea. This is not just a one-time acquisition of quality and then I'm like, oh yeah, now I've got it, hooray for me. And are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. There's that word knowledge again. This is a through line in 2 Peter. The idea of the importance of biblical, spiritual, godly knowledge. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, a couple of ideas about this. A lot of things we could say. This is the last section of the text we're going to cover today, which is good because we're running out of time. A couple of things. I'll put it back up there. One, note the importance of the doing, right? If these qualities are yours and increasing, if you are diligent, if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. These qualities, and we can put the list up again, right? Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. These qualities that we possess or are trying to possess, these are things that we're trying to increase in our lives. Have more faith. have more virtue, have more knowledge, more steadfastness, more self-control, right? Don't think that you've arrived at that point, that you have enough now. You won't have enough till you're dead. And even then, we really won't have the completeness of these things until what? Well, what did he say in the text? In this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom. That's when we can stop worrying about these things, perhaps, is when we have entered into the eternal kingdom, right? Now, it's interesting, another thing that he says here, whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Peter is not talking about people in the world here, right? He's not talking about people in the world who don't have these qualities. We would expect people in the world, people who have not ever had a relationship with God, we would expect them to lack these qualities. These are things that we're expecting people who have been, what did he say in the beginning? Who have partaken in the divine nature. These are qualities that we would expect people who have partaken in the divine nature to possess, not those who never have. And so what's his point? If you do not have these qualities, you've forgotten the point. You've forgotten that you were cleansed. You've missed it. And he's going to talk in chapter 2 about the severity, the consequences of that. If these qualities provide our entrance into the eternal kingdom, then we cannot be assured of our entrance into that kingdom if we do not possess these qualities. And again, and are increasing. This is an important point. It's not like there's an absolute value. I need to have 100 faith or whatever. I don't know. How would you even measure that? There's not like this absolute measurement that I need to get to this particular amount of faith and then I'm good to go. It's going to be different for everybody. We all start at different points and we all have different lives and we're all doing different things and we all have different measures of the gifts that God has given us. So it's not like we're trying to reach some abstract concrete, that's the opposite terms. We're not trying to reach this discrete level, but increasing. That's the key, that we are continually increasing in these qualities. And practicing. I like the word practice there because what? It means I'm doing them constantly, right? I'm not just doing them one time and then I'm done. But I'm constantly doing and engaging in these activities. These are the things that will separate us from the world. And these are the things that will allow us to partake in the divine nature. These are aspects of the divine nature, right? And these are things ultimately that will allow us. What did he say at the beginning there? These are things that will ultimately, allow us to escape from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So this week, again, and not just this week, but every week really, consider this list of qualities. If you're a scripture memorizer, I've really tried to get us to memorize Philippians 4:8 this year, but maybe memorize this passage too. 1 Peter 1, 5 through 7. This would be a great list of things to memorize, a list of qualities or aspects of Christian character that God wants us to have. And if we memorize it, then what? I can bring it to mind at any time. Isn't that his point? Again, his point is what? That after I depart, you will be able at any time to recall these things. Well, memorizing would be a way for us to do that so that we can continue to develop and grow these aspects of our character. Let's end in a prayer and then we'll wrap up. God, we thank you for the things that you have given us pertaining to life and godliness, the ability that you've given us to grow. Thank you for creating us in your image as beings who have choice and the ability and the capacity to increase in our knowledge and understanding. God, please give us these qualities. Give us these and more, the qualities that you've given, listed for us in Scripture. Help us to have these things and to practice them, especially as we're thinking about how we can do so now, not just in general, but give us the wisdom to see avenues for growing these qualities in our lives and the circumstances we find ourselves in. We love you. We thank you for your message of hope that you've given us, the promises that you've given us. And we thank you that we can have steadfast assurance that we'll see our loved ones again when Jesus comes back for us. In his name, amen.